All right. Just 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We are live from Las Vegas, and this is the Primetime Eagles Radio Show, hosted by your boy, the Primetime Capper, Pop DiBiase, and live from Boston, my man, Jeff ECSI Dawson, the Don himself. What's going on, baby?
Hey, another dreary day in Boston, but we keep winning, so everyone's happy. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. You know, pretty much just getting it on and everything like that, man. And pretty much cutting on the mic now for the radio station. So it's all good. So I'll let the people know who are tuning into the show right now. Once again, this is the Primetime Eagles Radio Show with your boy, the Primetime Capper Pop, DiBiase. Long day today, Jeff. Long day, bro. Undercard press conference went very well. But then it got a little crazy. Boxer by the name of Jojo Diaz seemed to be a pretty popular guy today. He goes into his actual, you know, the face-off and everything like that, Jeff. And he's all suited and booty, got sort of pretty chain, looks like it's about $10,000 and everything like that. And the guy he's facing off with is just a guy from Nicaragua, you know, another guy that they're just throwing out there for him, you know, as they step him up in championships, things like that. So he goes off and shoves the guy. He says, "Oh, I'll fuck you up right here on the spot." Pardon my language. And so I said, "Wow, you know, he's a guy who wants to be a champion and everything, but you let this little stuff get to you?" And so, best behold, it wasn't the press conference ends. Everybody goes to get their interviews and everything. And next thing you know, Tevin Farmer walks into the room. Tevin Farmer is a fighter that is promoted by Eddie Hearn and Matchbox Boxing. And he walks into the room, and they got somewhat of a Twitter beef. And so, in Philly style, because that's where Tevin's from, Tevin straight up said, you know, "Hey, I'm gonna run down on you." Tevin said, "So what was all?" He said, "Hey, Champ, how you doing?" And Tevin tells him, he says, "What was all that issue you was talking on Twitter?" And it just, and these guys just start going back and forth. The dad jumps in. I'm just like, wow, boxing, man, you guys, just so intense. You know, trying to book those fights, man. So that was a very touching point of the day. So I'm just saying to myself, I'm like, wow, man, I'm glad that I'm getting credentials in the basketball and everything now. Boxing day, every week it's almost the same, man. You know, you got these guys, they got to talk a little trash to sell the fight and everything, but it's always the undercard guys that got a lot of animosity towards each other. And so it's so, I know they're building careers, they're trying to get their moments and everything like that. And as we always say, Jeff, I know I'm getting annoying. I know I'm annoying people with this, but instant gratification, Jeff. Instant gratification. Everybody needs it, right?
OMG, that is what we live in, right?
Right, right. So everybody needs that. So, you know, it is what it is, man. All in all, it was a great day. I actually was able to catch a few rounds over at Hard Rock tonight as well, too. They had some Thursday night fights on Facebook, so if you guys are still on the Facebook, hopefully you guys are tuning into the fights and everything like that at the Hard Rock tonight. They got some good boxes going and everything like that tonight. And it was a pretty good experience today. I actually was able to sit in on a sparring session with Austin Trout and Thomas Hill, who's a friend of mine, and pretty much was able to have a few words with Errol Spence Jr. today. And everybody said, and then all my outlets got back to me and said, "You didn't get the interview?" Well, you know, I said, "Well, you know, I don't like just pull out a camera and start interviewing people." You know, and Arrow is hanging out and he's relaxing. He's just seeing his buddy spar. And it is what it is, man. You know what I mean? So, you know, and it's a very low-key situation. It's about 8 people here. No point in doing that. No point. I guess I'm not all the way in tune to instant gratification. Yeah.
Well, it's funny you say that. I was reading today, I think it was on Twitter, and the Yankees fired 2 employees that work inside the dugout. Now, I don't know if they were security guards or what their titles were. But after CeCe got his 3,000th strikeout, and after the game, they went up and asked him for an autograph, and that's an absolute no-no. I saw today that the Yankees let them go, so it kind of is a nice little lead-in for yourself, where if he wanted to be interviewed, he probably would have asked you, you know, and you played it, I'd say, absolutely 1,000% correctly. And the time will come where, you know, hey, you want to pull me aside and ask me a few questions, and that's your lead-in right there you're looking for.
Right, and you know what? I have relationships with Arrow's trainer, one of his top prospects, Burley Brooks as well. So, you know, it's not hard to get a hold of Arrow at all. Him and Thomas are very good friends as well. So, you know I can get him when it's time. So I don't worry about it. You know what I mean? And, you know, I've seen him at other places, and I still just shake his hand. But it's funny, though, Jeff, it's funny. They might not know my name, but they know I'm the guy that's always in the suits.
There you go.
You know, even his buddy, one of his team members, he even said, man, he said, every time I see you, man, you dressed to the, man, you dressed it dapper, man, you always looking dressed up, man, suited and booted. Man, I love it. And, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, show a different face, man. Sometimes I say, I believe in reincarnation at some points. I always say, damn, I must have been a mafia boss or a mafia worker or something, since I love being in suits, even in 100-degree weather.
You know something, Pops, when I was growing up a long time ago, I was working in Brockton, and this was right when I got out of college, and my young, naive, wet behind the ear, it wasn't the glory days, put it that way, and I was with a gentleman, always dressed to the nines, shoes shined, nice collared shirt, nice pair of slides. I mean, he looked dapper every day, and he told me, he says, Jeff, he goes, I don't care if you have a dime in your pocket, as long as you look good and you keep a good attitude and a smile on your face, they don't need to know if you have 10 cents in your pocket or $10,000 in your pocket. And he was right. And it's all how you present yourself. And every day is not going to be a great day. Some days we're the dog, some days we're the fire hydrant. But you keep up with that mentality, with that attitude, and what you're presenting, hey, the world's your oyster.
Right. And man, we just keep trucking along. Everybody, I know I'm just over here talking about myself, but we're gonna get into some sports betting and some games in a minute. But you know, it's just been a fun week, man. The Big Three draft night was absolutely incredible. And be ready, world. We are gonna be betting the Big Three this summer. Everybody, yay! Big Three. Hey, those are some good games to bet, Jeff.
Well, I wanted to stop you early because I was letting you go. You were talking about, you know, it's been a long week. And let me just say this, you know, I obviously follow everything you do on Twitter, Instagram. I had the Big Three draft on one of the TVs here. And I hats off. You know why? We were talking off the air, you know, about Ice Cube and what he has done, where he was as a kid, where he was as a rapper, and what he wanted to do with his life. And look where he is today. And let me tell you something, you know, how many of these football leagues have tried to start up and then have just crashed and burned? And you look at where he is right now, and he was sitting at the desk and they were asking him questions, and they were asking a couple of the players that were drafted questions. And he says, hey, you're getting another opportunity to be a professional. This isn't, you know, some YMCA pickup. This is a professional league where you're getting another shot. And his mentality, his attitude, and it just rubs off on the actual product. And hey, listen, I agree with you. You know, we've talked at length about the Big Three, the WNBA. You've talked about the NBA summer leagues in Vegas, where we all hope to be covering and hope you're out there. And we, ECSI, hopes to be out there with you at some point, and it's all good. It's good stuff. It really is, Pops, and I take my hat off to you.
Yeah, man, it's incredible, man. It's like new things come up every day. A lot of people are starting to notice the hard work and everything is, and when you can afford to go to all these events and to all these places, things work out for you as well too. But as you guys know, I gotta wear several different hats to make all this happen. And sometimes I just really, you know, I now feel like I'm talking to a shrink, but you know, sometimes, you know, I'm at the point right now that today I'm just like, oh, give me a break. But you know what? The break comes next week. It's not a 5-week schedule. Brooklyn is still 60-40 for Brooklyn. You know, New York's a very tricky trip, you know, so we'll see how it goes, man. Pretty much just trying to make sure that we beat the Heat and everything. But let's get back to the big three real quick. Let's confirm how it worked. Ice Cube was able to secure deals at some of the best basketball arenas in the nation. And he also was able to secure a great deal from Fox when they launched FS1. And he knew exactly what he had to do. You put it on in the summertime, way out the way of the NBA, and now you got yourself a product because people want to watch this. And I think he really, really made everybody take the league seriously when, and I talked about it last night with she's a radio personality out here in Vegas, but she's a very, from Chicago, and she's a very, very nice woman. And pretty much I explained the Allen Iverson situation, and I said that, you know, Ice Cube came in very quickly, and you know, he suspended Iverson for, you know, coming, I guess he was a little inebriated when he came to practice, and you know, he was kind of being a diva. And you know, he put his foot down early and said, you know what, ain't nobody gonna be bigger than this league, period. I don't care how much of a legend you are. And that's what made people say, hey, I like this league. I like what Ice Cube's doing over here. Hey, they're not gonna play none of that stuff over here. We're gonna dictate this thing just like the NBA do. You know, you cussing in front of the kids and everything, that's fine. You know, and I think that's commendable in itself. But all I gotta tell you guys is be prepared. We're gonna be betting some big games. They got 12 teams in this league, though. So that means you'll get 6 games on each of those little tickets that you get, you know. So they're gonna be start giving you about 2 hours worth of basketball with all these teams and everything going to 50. So it's gonna be fun, Jeff. It's gonna be fun. Hopefully they go to Boston so then I can just figure out a way to come hang out with you for a bit. I know I'm going to the game at Fenway this summer, though.
We'll be here. You know that. I get tickets anytime. That's not a problem.
I'm trying to go on my East Coast tour. So, you know, I'm trying to go to Yankee Stadium. I'm trying to go to Citi Field. I'm trying to go to the ballpark in Philly as well. Damn, I'm even thinking about going to that little bitty park down there in Pittsburgh, too. Just, you know... there was a guy a few years ago, and he went to every single major league ballpark during the summer. That was a summer vacation. I thought that was incredible. You know, I thought that was pretty cool. But you know, it's, you know what? It's not really hard to do if you have the money. Because say, okay, Detroit got a home game, Cleveland got a home game, Chicago got a home game, all in a 3-day range. You can make all those games.
Exactly. I mean, you could literally start at Fenway, you know, and if you had to get it out of the way, make that trip right up to Toronto, get that one out of the way, and then work your way back to Philly, Pittsburgh. You know, you could hit the East Coast, Baltimore, and head on down to Atlanta, swing on down to Tampa, Miami, and then work your way from there. But let me backtrack. I don't know if you saw 2 days ago, Fenway Park will have a bowl game this year, like the Pinstripe Bowl has had. They will have an ACC rep and an AAC rep.
Oh, I like it.
Well,
when was the last time they played football in Fenway Park?
2 years ago, they had Notre Dame and BC.
They did?
Yes, they did. Sold out. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. How does this slip in my mind?
I couldn't get a ticket for that. I can get a ticket for any BC game, and to get for one at Fenway Park, forget about it. Yeah, they had Notre Dame, BC. Okay, let me backtrack. They had Notre Dame, BC 2 years ago. They had UConn, BC last year, and they also had, I think the Harvard-Yale game was at Fenway as well. So I think they've had three games there in the last 2 years now.
Well, I know David Ortiz said something that was very striking a few years ago. He said, damn, I wish Fenway would just get a new stadium. I wish Boston would just make a new stadium. Because you love Fenway, you love the classicness of Fenway, but Boston would, hey, you can make another Fenway. But I think Boston has such an advantage, and they've renovated it so well that they don't necessarily have to switch the venue, you know?
Yeah, they were talking about when their new ownership that they were going to, you know, they were looking into it, but the price for a new stadium in Boston would have been outrageous. So what they've done is just renovated it now. I think when they took over, there was 33,000 seats, maybe with standing room, almost 34. They're up to 37,000 now. They just keep adding and building up higher, yada, yada, yada. They're going to have May 15th. An exhibition soccer game there. I think Liverpool's there and someone else. So they're always having events that all during the summer. They have concerts there as well. Billy Joel will be there. Zac Brown Band will be there. I think The Who will be there this summer. So they're always filling it. So they're always making money, put it that way.
Hey, I heard that. Ain't nothing wrong with that, Jeff. Ain't nothing wrong with that. All right, with that, we're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial. And this show is actually brought to you now to you by Twins Fires, who is the actual betting app that you can use that's within the Churchill Downs syndicate. It's I don't know if you can do regular sports, but I know you can bet horses on Twins Fires. And Twins Fires always has some great deals, 20-30% off for brand new clients, customers, things like that. And wow, you can go ahead and bet Churchill Downs, get those exclusive looks and everything, especially Kentucky Derby. And that's what we're going to talk about once we come back from our commercial, okay? But you guys go ahead and check out TwinsFighters.com, and they are the sponsor of tonight's show. And the name of this show is the Primetime Angles Radio Show with your boy, Pop DiBiase. We'll be back until it tips.
When I'm working hard, I build up a thirst for sports. That's when I grab a cold 12-ounce sports radio. Quench your sports thirst.
Daily fantasy sports have taken the world by storm, and Thrive Fantasy has a whole new twist. You make prop bets on only the top players in each game. No more sifting through the 12th man of a basketball roster. Then you just sit back and enjoy the action. 12-ounce Sports Radio and Thrive Fantasy have now partnered to offer our listeners free house money to play with. Just use the promo code 12OZSports. That's 12OZSports, all caps, during your next deposit to receive the bonus. That's Thrive Fantasy and the promo code 12OZSports. Now go win.
Jansen, play-by-play announcer for the Edmonton Warriors. 12-ounce Sports Radio is your home for Edmonton Warriors lacrosse all season long. Join us for live broadcast in the Rocky Mountain Lacrosse League as the senior Warriors make that drive for the President's Cup. Edmonton Warriors lacrosse only on 12-ounce Sports Radio.
And we are back with the Primetime Angles Radio Show, hosted by your boy, Pop DiBiase, the Primetime Capper himself, and the Don, Jeff Dawson, Boston's own, Cape Cod, baby, Northeast. They know his name rings bells in Rhode Island, Vermont, Maine, Connecticut. That's the impact Jeff has made over the years, capping and things of that nature and making all the connections that he's made. But I can always let Jeff speak for himself. I'm not Oliver Stone, I'm not the historian or anything like that. But, you know, I love talking plays with my man, and you guys have to understand this. This is my big brother in the game, so y'all got to just deal with him wherever I go, he's with me, okay?
I appreciate that, Pops.
You know, everybody needs quality. And I know I'll be making my little Henry Hill, what was De Niro's name in it? Bobby? his Rio De Niro Pesci mistakes, but he's always there to get me right. Not mistakes like how they was, but I was watching Goodfellas the other day.
Oh man, when I flip through the stations and that's on, that's like my goodnight movie. I'll just sit there, watch that for hours. Either that or the new one that I watch a million times over is the Wolf of Wall Street. DiCaprio cracks me up in that one. But that no, you're right, Goodfellas, and the other one, Casino, was what, at the Riviera, right? They filmed that.
Right, the Algiers. You know, the Algiers, wasn't it an actual hotel, a smaller hotel?
I think it was.
Sorry. Over yeah. the graveyard, but I think that was for the movie. Yeah, but yeah, Goodfellas is so funny. You watch the movie over again, it's like, damn, Pesci, you could have just relaxed sometimes, man. And so when the real made man did what they did, you kind of had to get up and clap that shit up a little bit, because you was a monster, Joe Pesci. I'm just bringing Joe Pesci up because Joe Pesci is an avid horse bettor. He co-owned horses at Santa Anita, Hollywood Park, Del Mar. He's a face that people see a lot. And you know, Joe Pesci is a little bit older now, so that's why he's not in movies as much anymore, because he's just old. But the thing is though, Joe Pesci is a part of American iconism. I know I just kind of made up a new word, but it is what it is. But let's go ahead and talk about the Derby. First things first, the favorite, Omaha Beach, another California runner, Richard Mandela trainee, is going to be scratched. He was the favorite because he's the horse that kept beating Improbable. Improbable, yeah, if you guys understand, Bob Baffert got three horses, and you don't know which one's his favorite right now. From how it looks at the window, it probably will be game winner. But when you say who's coming along nicely, it's Roaster, who I saw with my own eyes at the Santa Anita Derby go ahead and win that race. And he won it like a dog that day too, Jeff. So, you know, he had some dog in him. But I felt like game winner was going out for practice. He's already solidified his position. He's the 2-year-old champion. Big difference. You know what I mean? But when they run you as much as they do at 2, then it might be an issue when you turn 3. And he's kind of had a little bit of the 3-year-old-itis, you know what I mean? Like, pull this thing off. Last horse that was able to pull it off as the 2-year-old champ was Nyquist. But Nyquist went into the Kentucky Derby undefeated. Game winner, not so much the same. But game winner has never been in a race where it was... He's never been in a race against low-quality horses. He's always been against high-quality horses. And that goes, that gives you the measurement of time. And I really, really, really like this horse. And I really love the name. The name just sounds like we're going to cash the ticket off. I love Game Winner. That is my top horse in the race in Santa Anita. Everybody's been asking me, who's your top horse? Who's your top horse? There it is. Game Winner. Game Winner. So, I like him a lot. I'm going through my sheets now. There's a horse named Tactus that they've been telling me a lot about.
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Because I listen to you. We also have Jeff Brandes. I listen to him. And, you know, obviously we have our connections out in Vegas. And, you know, always listening. And I'll tell the listeners, always looking for a little more insight. I can't pump up Sirius and Vissen any more than, I mean, if you guys have got Sirius Radio, you want to stream it on your laptop, desktop, whatever, listen to them as well. They always have great insight, not just on horses, PGA, the games. But that's the horse, Pops, that I am hearing a lot of people talk about the last 24 to 48 hours, and that's Tactus. And they loved his last race, got into trouble not once, not twice, but 3 times. They say everything is just moving in the right direction. And who's that, Mott's horse?
Yeah, that's Billy Mott's horse right there. And they've been chiming at, chopping at the bit to get Billy Mott a winner in some winter time. But you know what? The road to Kentucky runs through California. That's how it's been the last 4 out of 5 years. Jeff, California Chrome, American Pharoah. Then we took a break. We freebeated actually. It was California Chrome, American Pharoah, Nyquist. Then we took a break. Then the great Justify came along. So It's like, wow. The road goes through California. Bob got three of them. But the thing is though, Billy Mott, Todd Pletcher, Chad Brown, they always are going to have some great horses because they do get the pick of the litter because they have some of the richest owners in the game back. You know, so that's what it's all about. If you got a rich owner that's willing to spend millions of dollars, you're going to have top racehorses every year. Billy Mott is very trusted because he is the trainer of the legendary Cigar. You know, and that was huge. And he always has something overseas, things like that. And really, Bill Mott is who he came up under. You know what I mean? That's how it is, man. And it's so funny how they say Vegas, Vegas this, Vegas that. Horse racing is not really dictated through Vegas. Horse racing is dictated by who's at the racetrack betting the races.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I try to tell people like this. Horse racing is the funnest sport to bet pretty much point blank because the tote board is like the stock market. And if you hit on the right product, I mean in the right horse, you will have a day. You will have a day. And that's why you gotta love yourself some horse racing. Now, it looks like Country House is gonna be able to get to this race. Actually, not Country House, it's Bodie Express, a Bodie Meister horse. Gotta always watch out for those Bodie Meisters, though. Now, I do see a horse here that might run a huge, and that's Win, Win, Win.
Pop, Steve, are you staring at my sheet? Because the two horses I wanted to talk about today was Tactus. Now, by the way, let me step back for 1 second. The favorite, since Omaha Beach is out, is who?
It's going to be Game Winner at 92. And that's now, a $10 winner still. That's an $11 winner, Jeff.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. You could have claimed him for $16,000 not too long ago, correct? His maiden?
He's a Baffert, though. So it must have been a change of training, but he's a Mary West. The West family owns him.
Okay. I heard back, I'm not saying it was yesterday or, you know, this was, I think, maybe his first race out or something. Maiden claimer, you could have claimed him for $16,000. They were talking about that a few days ago. But you talked about Tactics, and I also today heard keep your eye, not so much to win, but they said a definite ticket horse. They love where he's sitting. Think he's going to get a great trip. And also, there's a good possibility that this is a wet track. But it was Win, Win, Win. My two horses were Tactus and Win, Win, Win. They hit the board. And now you are going right there. So the stage is yours.
Well, Win, Win, Win is a horse that when you see a horse like that that's coming along right now, you get a little excited. You know what I mean? And say, you don't know what you can see. Everybody, this year might be the Mind That Bird year, Jeff. There is no standout three-year-old like that this year. That's why it's a conundrum. But as they always say, the favorite's gonna win the race, but you gotta get a good favorite. But I doubt very seriously Game Winner's gonna be 92 when we get to the window. More likely 7-2.
Okay.
7-2. Well, we'll begin the 7-2 favorite this year. The money's actually gonna spread around in this year's Derby. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody can get a horse. I've had some epic failures though over the last few years in the Derby. So don't even take me seriously. I'm so double digit up. I'm just gonna forget about a Game Winner. That's where we're going. He has a good number. We're rolling with that. I think Roaster might get the money at the end though. Literally. I think Roaster might have a late pile on with him. It all depends. But improbable, strong chance. Game Winner, that's the horse I have circled. Roaster, coming along nicely. But you have to watch what his price is going to be. If they bet them too low, leave them alone. Just put them on your ticket. Put them on your ticket. Don't say Prime didn't say put them on the ticket. Just don't put them on top, in my opinion. But they keep saying favorites are going to win. I don't know if Roaster's all the way ready for a group like this. Game winner went against 14 other horses when he won the race as a two-year-old. So when you run in a big group of horses and you win, you love running in a big group of horses. That's why you have a horse that goes off at 30-1 and he hit that mug twice, but it's a 12-horse race. But we could have 5-2, 7-2 in some race on a Thursday at Santa Anita. The horse winds up finishing 4th or 5th because he's going against 5-6 horses. He ain't got no interest. You know? He wants to beat all the horses. He wants to beat the whole stable. That's their mentality, but they see a couple other horses. The guy's horse going a little bit too fast for you, a little bit too much space for you. Going ahead. There'll be better days for me. You know, so I really do love this Kentucky Derby. They're going to try to make me very busy on Saturday, but they're not going to make me that busy, Jeff. I'm going to make sure I'm somewhere, what is it, 4:30, 3:30, 4 o'clock when the race starts. I'm going to be in somebody's sports book watching this race. Somebody's sports book. Because I ain't missing no Kentucky Derby. I know that for a fact. I never missed the Derby, and I ain't going to miss it this year. Even when I wasn't batting horses that tough 10 years ago, I ain't going to miss the Derby. You know, and literally, it's been a rough off year for me, not betting wise, horse races, but I really haven't been able to have time to really cap a lot of horse races this year. But I still have an idea of what's going on. See, when you know angles in horse racing, you don't need to sit up there all day looking at every horse. You know what I mean? You just need to figure out who the jockeys ride, which one is coming off of search. It's always little things that you'll catch that will direct you to the winners. I like first timers myself. Why? Because the first timer don't know no better, Jeff. You know what I mean? He's the new kid on the block. Sometimes, and then when the new kid on the block is an amazing claiming race against all the horses that ran 7-8 races and all they do is lose, give me the first time. He don't know nothing about losing. You know, he's been ready. They trained him. He's good to go. Boom. But this is other stuff. You ain't gonna have no maiden claimer in this race. Only maiden horse to ever win this race, and he went off at 50-1. Mind that bird. And let's all keep it real. Ain't no horse ever gonna get a great ride like that. That happens once every 100 years. That horse came up the rail. Nobody saw him coming. But literally, that's because the horses in front of him were having such a duel with each other. They could care less about the horse that was coming up inside the rail. And he came from the most difficult spot, but the shortest spot on the track. Right on the rail. So,
was that Calvin Burrell on it?
That was Mr. Calvin Burrell on top of that horse as well, too. And literally, he got the horse on some like, well, you know, Calvin, thank you for riding the horse. You know, novelty stuff. He did something for the trainer. But like he said, the day before, he said, man, this horse got a chance. They always say that, though. You know, Jeff, they always say that, though.
Well, he had the epic run for a couple of years. You know, it was called Calvin Bull Rail because it didn't matter. He would let all the horses go. He would just grab the rail, and he'd just run that straight shot right down the rail. He had a couple nice runs.
Right. There. And, you know, Giacomo, that's another great big-time Derby winner who broke the toe board. So, yeah, man. So we had to talk about horse racing just a little bit. Scott Hazleton was a little bit too busy for me this year. It's because he's been in Kentucky most of this year with the, you know, issues and everything at Santa Anita. So he's been covering for TPG out there more. And then, you know, got to spend some time with the family. So, you know, I pretty much, you know, he tried, but you know what you call it? He's a very, very busy man. So, you know, He's a little too busy for me this year, but it's fine though. We'll catch him during Breeders' Cup, Jeff. And Yeah, horse races, baby. You guys make sure to bet that race. And I'm going to give out a superfecta to the public. Don't worry, you don't have to pay for it. But you definitely going to have to pay for it. That Santa Anita card, though, come Saturday. On East Coast Sports Investors. It will be in the store. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I will make sure that we have racing cards in the store. Hopefully, I can get us Golden Gate Fields as well, too, this weekend. All California, two California cards for you. Get you some money. Because for the small bettor, guy who's just chasing some money and thinks the money's going to be easy, you'll love GGF. But for the guys who want to take some risk and look at a sharp number, Santa Anita is your track. But you know what? You'll catch some gold. You'll catch some gold at Golden Gate as well, too. I've caught gold on many occasions up there. Literally because I know how to recognize what Southern California horse that struggled in Southern California is up there. And literally like, well, the horse is all right down in L.A. It's just tough competition. They go up to Golden Gate Field. It's almost like when you send one of the Dodgers to Albuquerque. Well, you need some fine tuning, you know? And all my Golden Gate fans, Golden Gate is not minor league, not one bit. They just had a great race weekend. It was all about the money last weekend, Jeff, up there. So they actually were able to take advantage of the issues that occurred in Santa Anita. They have became the California track for almost a month. And people started really betting Golden Gate because they see that, hey, this is a pretty good track. And there it is, man. So hopefully we'll have Golden Gate builds up for you. And we'll have, but we'll most definitely have Santa Anita up for you. I know everybody's like, I like Africa. Okay. New York horses are not tough to cap, but it's just like, it starts becoming silly sometimes. Oh, it's going to be Cab Brown. Oh, it's going to be Fletcher. Oh, it's going to be Fletcher. You know, it's like four trainers that you look at and like, is a horse going to win the race? And then when one of their horses going to win the race, you're just like, wow. What happened? You know, but it is what it is. I love the East Coast track as well, too. You can get big numbers there as well. All right, Jeff, I'm over here looking at the playoff game, and it looks like the 76ers actually just romped all over the Raptors. And I was with Jamario Moon last night. He told me that, man, the whole country would come out if Toronto was in the ring. And I said, well, looking at this loss, and I said, well, the mission's going to be tough. But the way how Philadelphia, that might be their last win of this series. I don't know. Because the series ain't over. Yeah, you won by almost 30, but it don't really matter come Friday. It don't really matter come Saturday. It really don't. Because now you got to play in the next game. So now if you're able to get 2-2, you'll be fine. Oh, wow. And we might have a locker room issue with Ben Simmons and Kyle Larry. See, that's what you can fight a guy about. You know, he gets in the mid section with the elbow, and that was pretty that wasn't good at all.
You know, the problem here is in a nutshell now is Philly's up 2-1. They've won the last two. I be interested to see if they open up. They opened up a 1.5-point favorite. They got pushed to a 2-point dog. Will the public now think it's a must game for Toronto and, you know, have them a 3-point favorite? Or now is Philly gaining a little momentum? And my point here is there's been some talks around, you know, that Kawhi is starting to look around and say, you guys, you didn't give me anything here. And he's like the favorite now to go to the Clippers. And we've talked at length during the year here, and I thought it would be a perfect stay for him. And I think it would have been good for him to stick and stay in Toronto. But if he limps out of this, you know, not winning this series, never mind going, say, they lose in 5 or 6, I'm wondering where his stock will be. I mean, he's going to get paid supermax anyways, but does he get a little tarnish on the on his resume?
He'll be fine. But the thing is, though, he'll have a whole laundry list of excuses once he gets on the Clippers. You know, the Clippers get hurt. Oh, it ain't no problem. Ain't no problem with him getting hurt. You know what I mean? I just really, I don't know if it's the smartest basketball decision. You know, if you really want to win championships, or do you want to just live in Los Angeles? What are... Clippers, the Clippers have made great strides. You know, I just don't like the fact that Jerry West literally gets all the credit. I mean, they have a front office in place. Jerry West is not the general manager. Jerry West is not the president of basketball operations. He is an advisor. So they can take what he tells them, or they can go ahead and say, well, you know, Jerry, we'll go the other way. Literally, he's a paid advisor. He suggests moves. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to make the moves. But every suggestion he's made has put them in the right place. But I'll be dead honest with you. Them getting to the playoffs had a lot to do with the Lakers getting hurt. The Lakers were literally destined for that eighth seed until about March. You know what I mean? And they were actually could have been the third or fourth seed. But I think that the young boys got a little too excited. They saw that they had LeBron, and they thought, okay, LeBron is just carrying us to the finish line now. We're ahead. We're looking good. We're 17-9. We just beat the Warriors by almost 30 points. We'll be fine once LeBron gets back, but they had to keep winning games. But I think what ultimately did the Lakers in, and I know the haters don't want to hear it, but Lonzo Ball getting hurt was huge. And Lonzo Ball getting hurt last year was huge. Literally, they have to get this guy healthy for at least 80-90% of the games the next season for them to even think about the playoffs. But help should be on the way. I don't care what nobody says. Help should be on the way with the Lakers. Because LeBron is there, and LeBron now can sit there and do some real recruiting. And everybody's mad now because they're like, well, the Lakers haven't picked the coach yet. The season's still going on. They don't need to necessarily pick the coaches. Thousands of candidates. I think the Lakers are taking their time because they want to have a coach that they ain't trying to fire in the next 18 months. They want a coach that's going to be able to last through this LeBron James contract. You know, because LeBron, once he's done with the Lakers, I think it's a wrap. What's there more to play for? You know, and I know everybody's like, well, he'll probably go to New York after he gets done. Yeah, I understand, man. LeBron lives in California. He lives in a beautiful, beautiful neighborhood, Brentwood. And there's another guy who stayed in Brentwood as well, too. We don't need to mention him. But if you know your history, you know who stayed in Brentwood as well. You know, and he's in a good neighborhood. His son already goes to high school out there. And I think that he would much rather, he would like to get this thing over with. And I think he would love to spend his son's senior season as an NBA retiree. So he can work with his son, get to the next level of college and everything like that. Because eventually LeBron James is going to own a team in the NBA or the NFL or the MLB. See, that's what people don't know about King James, is that he does have some big goals, some big aspirations, and as I keep saying, all Dan Gilbert is doing is just saving the Cavaliers for him.
Well, I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised if he's already got his nose out and looking for some stock interest in the Cleveland Browns. They're moving in the right direction.
Right. Haslam. But I'm glad Haslam backed up and stopped thinking, making suggestions. The last two suggestions he made were awful. Hugh Jackson, Johnny Manziel. So, and Hugh Jackson wasn't that bad. Wasn't that bad? The guy won one game in two seasons. Awful. And they go get a brand new head coach, and the team starts playing awesome. They were playing downright atrocious when Hugh Jackson was the coach. And it was no fault. And he said, well, it's no fault of him. La, 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 la. But they said that from what you heard, inner situations, he just was he's too difficult for the other coaches to deal with. He wants to do it a certain way, and you know, guys conducted themselves like coordinators. Coordinators act like that. You know what I mean? Where I'm in control, it's my offense. You know what I mean? And when you're a head coach, you got to be able to delegate things and let people do their job, you know? And I just think that he's much better at being a coordinator, and that's more of his shtick, you know? So, you know, LeBron, hey, more power to you. Some team in Cleveland, you'll be owning them one day, or some team, I don't know. So, shit, he might even pick up with the Grizzlies. But those are good candidates for Vegas as well, too, Jeff. Because don't worry, the NBA will be in Vegas in probably the next 5-6 years. Full time. And I know they're not making anything of it, but I know one thing. The Kings could have did it in the 2000s when the Malus were still the owners. But now the Malus are all the way out in the game now. Jeff, you know that, right?
Yes.
They don't even have the hotels. They sold their interest in the Palms. I've found that out. They actually sold their interest to the Fortini brothers, the guys that used to own USC, and they own all the station casinos in Vegas. So it's crazy that things changed the way they changed. But Palms has actually went back to being looking like the old Palms, like we talked about. But we're not here to talk about casinos. I'm not a part of the Vegas real estate board, so let's end it with that. You know. You still with me, Jeff?
I'm right here. I'm taking everything in.
Yeah, you didn't went low on me, but it'll probably pick up in the recording and everything like that. We only got 7 minutes left, so it's all good. All right, baseball, Jeff. Baseball. The baseball. I really like some games tomorrow. Some good games. I see a full schedule because it's a Friday. Cubs playing 11:20 a.m. game. I ain't got a line yet for that. So I don't want to even deal with that. That's the Cardinals and the Cubs. You never know where that game is going to go. But I know.
It's basically.
I see the juicy. It's a pick. I see the juicy dog, Jeff, right off top. Home dog. Well, I don't know. Maybe I might back out of this one. I didn't know Dan Straley was going to be pitching for him. And Tyler Glasnow is pitching absolutely dominant right now for one of the dominant teams of the first month of MLB. You know, we got the Rays 20-11 right now. So I liked what I saw when I saw the number with the Orioles. But I don't know if the pitcher will be able to hold up for us. But why don't we go ahead and take a risk, Jeff? Give me that plus 190 on Orioles tomorrow. Home dog. Home dog. Home doggy dog. All right. Yankees, Twins. Over 8. Easy money. Book it. Nationals, Phillies, Jeff. What you think?
Nationals snuck one out. Phillies have been struggling. Harper's been struggling. I mean, that's not a nice number. I mean, Eichhoff versus Hellickson. Hellickson struggled a little on the road, especially. But I'm not backing Eichhoff at a minus 165 at home. That's for sure.
Okay. I think that what we're going to do here, Jeff, is we're going to go ahead and we're going to play the under 9. And Hellickson and Eichhoff. And I know everybody's like, Pop, why would you want to do that? Well, Jeremy Hellickson is not that bad. And actually, I think he used to play for the Phillies, too. So this is almost like, I know you guys already. Jared Eichhoff, who's one of the top young pitchers with the Phillies as well, too. I just expect this game to go under. It's a divisional game. There it is. Under 9 looks real good to me, Jeff. And then I got 6. I named off 3. I gave 3 bets out, right, Jeff? I gotta give out 3 more, yep. Jeff. Pick six. All right. Braves Marlins. Why do the Marlins always find a way into my conversations when I'm talking baseball, Jeff?
Because they're usually a nice dog.
What's wrong with me? Like, I keep bringing them up because I'm trying to prepare y'all for the day when they make them a plus 250. And we hit. Marlins went 4-1. I'm waiting for it, Jeff. That day is going to happen. You know that, right?
Hey, listen, I had last summer when baseball. I think the...
Because that day is going to happen. Don't worry. Because when the number is too high and you got a pitcher that has a over 4 ERA, give me the other side. That dude can't be trusted because he's going to go take it easy. He's going to be throwing meatballs right down the middle because he knows that they ain't the best hitting team. And literally, a lot of times, the bad teams, it's not that the hitting's the issue. The issue is the pitching. It's always the pitching. Who's giving up the runs? You know, and that's what it is. Just like everybody makes Clayton Kershaw the issue in the playoffs with the Dodgers, knowing that he ain't the problem. He pitches 3 games out of the situation. Maybe. So he gives up 3 runs. The team scores no runs. It's his fault, right? What kind of dumbness is that? If you play baseball as a kid, you know that your job as the hitter is to hit, get base hits, run the bases, and score. The pitcher job is to get outs. Now, if you score 10 runs, your pitcher will be comfortable, and your pitcher will try to make sure he doesn't lose that lead. Now, when your pitcher's out there killing it, he's pitching a shutout, and y'all got no runs on the board, that's a defeated effort for your pitcher. Your pitcher's literally carrying you to the victory. And see, that's what's wrong with Dodger fans. They want Clayton to carry them to the victory. They want him to shut him out every time. They want him to pitch a no-hitter every time because Clayton Kershaw is that good. So that's why they do that. And he's the best left-handed pitcher of my time, in my opinion, because I ain't seen nobody better. You know, seriously, you can put Clayton Kershaw in any decade, any era, and he would still be the same pitcher. You know, and that's how I feel. And I'm not trying to be all buttering him up or anything like that. I just think that he's a great pitcher. It is great that Russell Martin, a guy that was the catcher for the Dodgers in Clayton's early years, and he was actually a guy that helped Clayton Kershaw out a lot on being a dominant pitcher over the years. They always give a lot of credit to old Pollock, who was the catcher for a while after Russell Martin. But no, it was always a great, great job that Russell Martin did as the catcher, because it wasn't only that he helped out the starters be very good pitchers. He also helped the bullpen be one of the best bullpens you could have in all of baseball. And when it came to the closer, forget about it. The Dodgers have been spoiled riding with closers over the last few years, Jeff. They had Saito, who was awesome from Japan. They had before his arm and everything went out, Jonathan Broxton, who was also an excellent pitcher who threw 102 miles per hour. And he also had a nasty slider that came in at you at 96. And then Kenley Jansen. And it's crazy because I saw Kimley's first game against the Giants. They brought him out in the 7th inning, and the guy threw 9 straight pitches at 100 miles per hour. And literally, they were trying to make Kenley a starter in the beginning. And he was a catcher in the Netherlands. So, you know, it is what it is, man. And I literally talked myself out of time, so we're not going to get... So, let me just get to it real quick, Jeff, the next game, because... They're showing me last night's scores right now. I don't like that. Today's scores. I'm trying to get this together. Okay, I named off 4 games for you, so let me give you two late night games. Oh well, they're late night for Jeff and them, but it's early for me. Mets Brewers. Give me the 1.5 on the Brewers here, and then you can also go ahead and give me. The Diamondbacks. Rockies game, and I'll go ahead and I'll take this one as an over 11 here, Jeff. And that's how I'm rocking right now, man. So if you guys hear that, is write down those six scenarios. Let's make some money, Jeff. That's what I say. But literally, the volume went kind of low on Jeff. Hopefully it will show back up in the recording and everything like that, that it won't be a big deal or anything like that. But it's been an excellent show. I always love doing the show with you, Jeff. Hopefully tomorrow night I have some time for you. We're doing an event tomorrow night at Games Works for Esports. We're going to have a bunch of boxers in the building, hanging out and everything, playing video games with gamers and people who love to play video games and things like that. So, well, I ran out of time on the radio station, so that ain't no big deal. So, they've already brought the next show. So, pretty much, yeah, because we started a little late. But all in all, we do have an event going on tomorrow night at Games Works in Las Vegas over at the Town Center. So, if you're listening to the show and you're in Las Vegas, make sure you come on in and watch the, and come on in and come hang out with us tomorrow night. It's going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to it. Tomorrow is the weigh-in for Canelo Jacobs. That should be fun as well, too, over at the T-Mobile Arena. And Saturday night is fight night. So maybe if I have time, hopefully, I know Jeff won't be available Saturday, but I will try to pre-record a show for you. But I'll be back Sunday. Jeff, will you be able to join us Sunday?
I'll mark it on the calendar. I'll make sure I'm here for you on Sunday.
All right, great. We'll just keep me posted. But all in all, I want to thank you guys so much for listening to the show tonight. It's always a blast. I thank you guys so much for listening. This is the Primetime Angles Radio Show with your boy, the Primetime Capper, Pop DiBiase, and my man, the Don himself, Jeff Dawson, the founder, the boss, the president. Even cuts the lights off for East Coast Sports Investors. So you guys can check him out, East Coast Sports Investors, ECSI.com, and also ECS Sports Invest on the Twitter. You guys can find me at Pop DiBiase, and you guys can find me on the Instagram, DiBiase Wave _. You guys can follow East Coast Sports Investors on Instagram as well, too. They got a pretty fun page. And you guys make sure you guys lock it in, man. Get your hats, get your shirts, everything for East Coast Sports Investors. There's going to be some big merch getting rolled out. And they're even going to start selling some of my slogan shirts, things of that nature, too. So big things on the way, baby. This is the Primetime Angles Radio Show with your boy, the Primetime Capper, Pop DiBiase, and Jeff the Don Dawson. And we are signing out from Vegas to Boston. Go!